Good afternoon and welcome to Life Moments. I should say welcome back to Life Moments. We've been off the air for a while during the COVID situation, but we're back. And I hope that you're doing okay. This is Terry Beckstrom. I'm your host, and we're coming to you live at the time of this recording from our studio in Raleigh, North Carolina. We're glad you joined us today. I want to take a few minutes today kind of to just tell you about the latest book that I wrote called Fearless and discuss what it means to me and what it could mean to you. And I hope that if you haven't already ordered your copy of Fearless, that you're online right now, either with Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or any online book retailer around the world, ordering your copy. As a matter of fact, ordering many copies. I would suggest you order 10 or so, so that you can give them out to people. I just wanted to talk to you about why I was inspired to write the book. This is my fourth book. If you've been following any of them, I hope you have them all. But the first was Live Safe. It was on family and personal security. The second was on Spoken Silently. It was a book written about body language and nonverbal communication, a topic that I love. And then First Impressions was the third. That book is about how you make an impression with people and what you can do to make an incredible first impression. This book is kind of something I've wanted to write for a long time. A lot of people say, well, you're targeting a specific audience in this book. Well, I am, and then I'm not. I say the book is for anybody 100 years old or younger, but there's more to it than that. The book is written specifically to young people, people in their teens, and to adults, and to the parents of teenagers. But I don't want you to in any way believe that if you're not in any of those categories that the book won't apply to you, because the title of the book is called Fearless, Developing a Mindset of Courage. Now, we all have things in our lives that cause us to get discouraged and fearful. It's commonplace. I mean, at any given day, people have tragedies occurring all around the world with their families, with friends. None of us are exempt from fears. And if you think that you might be in that category to where you are, you probably just haven't dealt with a big one yet. And I talk about in my book that kind of the first occasion that I had where I had to really deal with something in my life was at the age of 4 years old in 1969. My father, who was an Air Force pilot, was in his plane when it caught on fire during a routine training mission not long after coming back from Vietnam, where he flew 200-plus combat missions. And I remember specifically, as it was yesterday, even though I was only 4 years old, the knock on the door and seeing the two gentlemen standing outside with their Air Force uniforms. And I knew that they weren't my father, and I wondered what they were here for. And my mom answered the door. She was already crying by that time. And my father had been killed in an accident. Things changed from that point forward. They changed for my mother. They changed for me and my brother. And that was the first real knock on the door that I had where events in your life can change things dramatically. And I've since known a lot of people, and I've had other tragedies in my life, and I've watched as my friends and family members have dealt with tragedies in their own lives. And I'm here to tell you that tragedies occur every day. God doesn't say that he's going to, if you're a believer in him, that he is going to exempt you from tragedies in your life. That's just not going to happen. And some of the most strong faith believers that I know have dealt with some of the biggest tragedies. What I talk about in the book, as a matter of fact, I'm going to grab a copy of it. And if you can see me now, or if you could see me now, you would see that I'm holding a copy of the book. And I think you'll like the cover. It's got a lion on the cover. And I think that a lion represents a fearless creature to a lot of us. He's kind of the top of the food chain, so to speak. That's what I want us to become, to have that spirit of a lion, to have the courage of a lion, so that when you face things in your own life, that you can face them with boldness and courage. Let me tell you about the chapters in the book, though. So chapter one is called The Origin of Our Fears. And what I do in chapter one is I talk about what fears are and how we perceive things differently, how we each have different fears in our lives and how fears come about. And I'm not talking about a fear like if you hear somebody bust your door down at your house in the middle of the night and you become fearful. That's not the fear that I'm addressing. Fear reaction or fear response that humans have in those situations is different. I'm talking more about the fears in your life that are fears that are developed, fears that we develop over time. We spend a lot of time in this country and around the world worrying about things we shouldn't be worrying about. And worry and anxiety, especially during the COVID movement that we're coming out of, the pandemic, boy, a lot of people were gripped with fear, weren't they? I myself, being a germaphobe, was gripped with fear a lot of times, fear of going out, because I think some people even thought the ambient air we breathed outside, that if you stepped into it, that you were going to suddenly get a case of COVID, and you'd be on a ventilator within a few hours. That really wasn't the case. But we all came into the grips of fear for COVID. And now I'm out and about, and I'm watching people as they're kind of reintroducing themselves to society. The masks are off for the most part, and people are returning back to normalcy. And what I talk about in chapter one is identifying those fears in your life, the things that are holding you back from doing whatever you're capable of doing, which is usually a lot more than you think. Chapter number two is finding your fearless. We talk about how it is that you can discover your fearlessness, your courage, and what you can do to develop that courage in your life. Chapter three is called When Storms Appear. Think of a friend of mine who, not too long ago, I haven't seen her in a long time, but her son was in an accident recently. She has been at the hospital every day dealing with this traumatic accident that could have easily taken the life of her child. That's a storm. That is a real life storm. A lot of you have been through real life storms, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. Real life storms can turn your life around on a dime. One day everything is great, and the next minute you're getting a phone call and something tragic has happened, and things change from that point forward. We have to be ready for those events. And in chapter three, When Storms Appear, I am talking about what you can do to prepare for those events, not to live a life where we kind of bury our hands in the sand and we say, well, this will never happen to me. It's never going to happen, blah, blah, blah. Well, sometimes it does happen and you have to be ready. Chapter number four is Developing a Mindset of Courage. We dig a little more deeply into how it is you can develop a courageous mindset and what you can do to develop countermeasures, if you will, so that you can effectively deal with head on anything that you face. And the book is not a book that is overly spiritual, but each chapter I have a Bible verse dedicated to it. And I talk about how it is that through faith, God can give you that courage and that strength that you need to overcome the situations that you are dealing with in your life. Chapter number five, Developing a Mindset of Happiness. I don't think that any book that I write, except for the book on security, is going to leave out the mindset of happiness issue, because I think that's something that we all deal with, and I think we all need to kind of evaluate our own lives and to decide what it is, what kind of attitude we've taken up in our lives. And I've been around people, a lot of people who just have an absolutely negative attitude towards life. And they are the ones, when tragedy comes, that if some event happens in their life, that they're blaming everybody else. They become angry. They become frustrated. Bitterness just is deeply embedded in them. And what I'm talking about in this chapter is how to develop and maintain a mindset of happiness. Then next, developing a mindset of success. This is an interesting topic, and I love that word success, because I don't want us to be fooled into thinking that success is money or big houses or fancy cars, fancy clothes or titles or academic degrees. Everybody has been fed this misinformation, mostly by Hollywood and the media, that success is having a Lamborghini or a mansion or a beach house or a lot of money. And people are fed this position that they need to chase success. They need to chase money. Success is what you believe success to be. Success for a lot of people can be being alive, waking up tomorrow. For for a lot of people is success. You know, God doesn't assure us of anything other than that he will be with us through everything, but we're not assured about our very next breath that we take. Success is not weighed by what you have on the outside. Success is weighed by what you have in the inside. And I think that it's important to address that. If you're a parent, if you are a student, no matter who you are today, understand that success is not defined by what you have. Success is defined by who you are. And I'm not talking about somebody who's famous, a famous athlete, an actor, or whatever. A lot of those people are some of the most miserable people out there. A lot of people say, well, if I just had this much money or I had this car, well, I can show you a ton of people who are either famous or who have a lot of money who would tell you and look you square in the eye and tell you that they're miserable. It's not money that's going to make you happy. It's not money that's going to make you successful. The perception is, well, this guy's successful because he might have a big house or he might have a lot of money. Sure, that's going to be the perception of many. But what's it going to be inside your heart? What's it going to be inside your mind? You can have all the things in the world and not have success. Success, in my opinion, is having faith in a loving God who is there to take care of us and who is there to lead and guide us. And success is living a life of integrity, courage, loving your fellow human, being there for family and friends. That's true success. You know, some of the most successful people that I've ever met in my life are people who don't often have two dimes to rub together. They have a huge smile on their face. They're happy because they found it. They found that success that people are looking for. The next chapter, chapter 7, is called Overcoming Life's Obstacles. We're going to face obstacles in our lives, and we need to understand that obstacles are going to happen. It's inevitable. When they do happen, you don't unravel. You don't lose your mind. You don't lash out at other people. You find a way to overcome the obstacle. And I've got some great stories in the book about people who have overcome some incredible odds and through their faith and their perseverance have found victory when people might say the odds are so heavily stacked against them. Chapter number 8 is called In Search of You. I love this chapter. It doesn't have anything to do with, you know, the word identity or identity crisis has been mangled in this country and twisted. What I'm talking about in this chapter, finding you in search of you, is have you found your identity yet? And I'm not talking about all the crazy stuff that the media puts out there. I'm talking about, have you found that inner person? So often, we go through life, especially in the younger years, where we're trying to figure out who it is we are. And it's very, very important that as parents and as teenagers, that you are acutely aware that there are people that are trying to sway you to their way of thinking. I talk a little in the book about going on college campuses. There's this indoctrination process that so many professors who don't have good intentions are trying to impose on our students. And so many kids, they go away to college with a fertile mind, and I'm not just talking about academia. They allow themselves to be manipulated, and you have to prepare for that. You have to be prepared to stand up for your rights and values. And I talk to parents in the book as well about making sure that they're sending their kids off into the world prepared to deal with the onslaught that they are going to face. And if you as a parent are not doing that to your kids, then you're making a critical error. And I challenge parents to take up the mantle to make sure that they are teaching their kids right from wrong, that they're teaching their kids to think independently, not to let others think for them, to make the right decisions in their life so that when they do face issues, they can face them head on without wondering about who it is they are or what it is they're trying to accomplish. But finding your identity is something I think all of us do. We all come to a point in our life, usually it's in our late teens or so, I believe, mid-teens, late teens, that we kind of come to grips with who we are. What's our purpose in life? What are we going to pursue? And there's a time, I think, that each of us faces where we're kind of at a crossroads, where we're going to decide which direction we're going to go. And a lot of people, what happens to them is they take a turn in the wrong direction, and before you know it, a decade has passed, or two decades. I've known people like that. I've known guys who have gone to jail before. I've known guys who have died before because they made the wrong decisions. They allowed people to influence them that had no business influencing anybody. And I challenge teenagers, young people, and adults to make the right decisions in their lives so that they can become the best version of themselves and face life boldly. Chapter 9 is on focus. What I talk about here is, what are you focusing on in life? What is your life focus? A lot of people probably aren't able to answer that question. I hope that you are. If you're not, I think you'll enjoy this chapter. We talk about understanding what it is that you're focused on, why it is, asking yourself why it is you're focused on this in your life, and what direction do you want to go in. Focus is something that's very important. Then chapter 10 is called The Journey and Adventure of Life. I think that a lot of us take this thing called life for granted. Life is a beautiful, amazing gift from God. And I talk in the book a little about suicides. And during the COVID pandemic, I just read that teenage suicide had gone up considerably during that period. I've known people whose kids have committed suicide. And to me, that's one of the most tragic events that occurs in this country because it's so unnecessary. Sometimes it's over a girlfriend. Sometimes it's over just the most nonsensical thing. But remember, those underdeveloped prefrontal lobes can be a dangerous thing left unattended. Parents need to be aware of what's going on with their kids. But what I want you to do, and what I challenge you to do in this chapter, is to evaluate the worth of your life and what's going on around you, and for you to look at life as a gift from God, and to make every moment of your life as enjoyable as you possibly can. And I think of a person that I knew years ago, and she always, she was an older lady, but if you went out to dinner with her, it was usually the best meal she ever had. Doesn't matter if it was, if you ate with her last week and you went to a different restaurant, it was going to be the best meal she ever had. She approached life from a position of excitement, from a position of looking forward to what the next day offers or the next event in her life offers. She cherished her time with people. She was always smiling, always laughing. And I think so much about her, how so many people are doing the exact opposite. They're looking for reasons to criticize a meal, criticize a person, criticize their accommodations, the car they drive, the job they have, whatever, instead of taking on that attitude of gratitude where we're thankful for everything we have and we're just happy to be here. And so what I do in this chapter is I encourage you to live life to the fullest, to make the most of every moment in your life. Chapter 11 is called Commitment to Excellence. Excellence is something that has, I think, been forgotten in a lot of places. Excellence in the workplace, excellence in being a parent. How many parents would raise their hand and say, yeah, I'm doing a fantastic job. I've made a 100% commitment to do the best I can with the kids that I'm raising. That you have gone out of your way to make sure they know right from wrong. That you've gone out of your way to instill manners in them. You've gone out of your way to instill in them a sense of pride and who it is they are. You've helped your child to develop into a person of high moral character, of integrity, honesty. How many of you could actually say that? Let me tell you something. Being a person of excellence, it doesn't matter who you are, is a phenomenal gift to give to the world. Too many people right now in today's world, they just get by. They're not so concerned about what people think of them. They're going to punch the clock for the day. Why not try and do your absolute best in everything you do? When you do that, the world around you changes, and you change the world in the process. Chapter 12 is called Encouragement for Tomorrow. What I do in this chapter is I just offer some encouraging words that you can take with you to conquer the days ahead. And I like to say that this book was written from the heart for me. This book was written from the heart of someone and the mind of someone who has seen some of the worst people that have developed into criminal elements. I've seen some of the best. I've seen people who just make you, when they walk into a room, everything lights up. It's like they are a shining light everywhere they go. And I am not preaching to you in this book. I don't come at it from a perspective that I'm telling you what to do or condemning you, because we've all experience things in our lives that need improvement. And I need improvement every day. And every day, I pray that God grants me the grace to do the best that I can in my life and to make the most of my time and to touch as many lives as I possibly can. And that's what I encourage you to do in the book. And if you haven't purchased a copy of it, I really would strongly encourage you to pick up the book. I've heard from a lot of people who've already read the book, and I haven't heard a bad comment yet. And I think that we need things in our lives to challenge us. And that's what I do in the book, is I just offer up a challenge for you to face your fears, to take on a mindset of happiness, to take on a mindset of courage, and to live your absolute best life. I spoke to a doctor recently who read the book, and he has two kids, and he told me after reading the book that he had a lot of changes that he felt like he needed to make himself, and that he was going to make the book mandatory reading over the summer for his kids. Now, I hope that his kids wanted to read it, because I don't want you to impose this on anybody, but I think that if you're a teenager or you have teenagers, grandkids or kids, that once they pick the book up and start reading it, they're going to like the book. What I say too is to grab a couple copies, because I think this is the type of book that if you pick up and you read the book, you're going to say there are people out there that you're going to run into. I know this happens to me, that you're going to want to give them the content of what's in this book. And I just spoke to somebody the other day, and they told me that they have bought 10 copies of the book, and they're going to carry it around with them and hand the book out. And guess what? You're going to run into people that I call random encounters, where you're going to find somebody who needs precisely what's in this book. And I just suggest to you that, yeah, you carry a copy around in your purse or in your car, and you say, hold on a minute, I've got something for you. And you give them the book. I just gave another copy out, actually a few minutes before I started recording this today. And it's actually a good feeling, because you hope that somebody can read this. And if somebody gets anything good out of it, it will have been worth all the time I spent writing it. Is it the best book ever? No, I still think that's the Bible. But I think that you'll like the book and its content. And I encourage you to get a copy of it and to read it. And if you have the ability to buy copies for your youth group, for your kids' sports program, or just to buy a bunch of copies to hand out to people, I encourage you to do that. A lot of you have that ability. And I always say, once you read the book, you'll see what I'm talking about. But I hope you get the book. We're going to try and do some more of these programs. This was kind of long. It may have been a little bit drawn out for some of you, but this was just a conversation. There was no script to it. I'm just sitting in front of the mic talking to you, just like old friends. I hope to see you again, and I hope that you have a great week, and I hope that everything in your life works out for good and that you are making a difference wherever you are today and every day forward. Thanks for visiting with us today.